Even a warm day to be up here. I still have my long underwear on, though. So once you hit grandpa status, blood doesn't flow very well and all sorts of issues. But it is a delight to be with the believers at IBC. I was greeted this morning by even Steve Lynch, and he said, you know, we pray for you. It makes me want to cry, seriously, how that is so precious. That was way too much of an introduction, Pastor Sean, because it's really a mighty God, and I struggle regularly with my own Christian walk, you know, and I'm certain, and I'm guessing you probably do too, and it all gets back to this heart issue, and you just try to nurture a walk with the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And I'm going to talk a little bit first about our Savior, but thank you, Lord, that we sang this morning. One of the stanzas said this, in the valley I'll not fear, through the storm your voice I hear, and this is the line, your strong arm is always near, I rest in your love. His strong arm. I want to talk about God and His strong arm and mighty outstretched hand in just a moment. Let's pray, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be with the saints here at IBC. Thank you for Word of God going forth on a weekly basis here. Pray for Pastor Sean, for Jill, for the leadership here, that your will could be done and that Jesus Christ could be magnified. For the saints, Lord, that as a hand from you, that they would go forth and be able to be a light, as one said, lightning bugs going forth, and even with the gospel of grace, the gospel of light, to bring it to this dark world. Thank you for this opportunity to testify about the great things that you have done in and through us. And we just want you to be honored and glorified. In His name I pray. Amen. So, yes, for the last 5 years, we have been a part of the Alaska Christian Ministry to Seafarers. And it's been quite a transition to go up to Alaska from Minnesota. Some things were very easy, other things have been very difficult, but we're glad that the Lord has kept us there and used us there. And one of the exciting things is after Sean and Jill came up, we started working towards the Alaska State Fair, and the gospel is going forth there because of IBC, because of your finances, your energies, and your work, and your pastor's vision. The Word of God and the gospel have gone forth, and that's been phenomenal. And so I assume you showed some pictures from the fair previously. I do have a couple just along the way. In Acts chapter 14, verse 27, Paul and Barnabas are back from their first missionary journey, and this is what they say. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. It's God's right here in the song, your strong arm is always near and I rest in your love. So it's really the Lord who is doing all the work. We are so frail, we can't control anything. I'd love to control the weather, but I can't. I'd love to control the politics, but I can't. I'd love to control the stock market, but I can't. I'd love to control my wife once in a while, but I can't. And she'd like to control me. Wouldn't that be a wonderful button you push? And then it would work. But then it wouldn't be a romance. Then it wouldn't be a relationship. Then it would be robotics. But anyways, we can't. But God can, and that is so peaceful, so restful, when you can reach out with your faith and grasp God. I know Him. I have Him on my side. Maybe you know Carla Pearson in Duluth, Minnesota, from Duluth Bible Church. Her mother died this week. And I thought, you know what, they're very dear friends of ours. Their relatives are all there. They don't have time to spend with us, but I'm going to send a little text yesterday. And when I wrote that text about what the Lord has done with her mother, Shirley, who is a believer, I was so encouraged because God is there for us to grasp. And I really hadn't renewed those principles for a while. But when I reviewed about what God has done now with Shirley through Jesus Christ and that she's in Christ, that is so encouraging. So I want to just spend a little bit of time on the mighty hand of God. And so God has a way of relating to us, because I can't relate to an invisible, omniscient, all-powerful God who is everywhere at all times, but He says, I have an arm, and I have a mighty hand, and I'm going to reach down, and I'm going to work with you. In fact, I'm going to protect you, I'm going to provide for you, I'm going to oversee in your life, and I'll even guide you. And He uses Israel as the illustration. And so, an anthropomorphic description, in other words, something that a human can relate to, He says, I have a hand. Thank you, Lord, for that hand. Thank you for that outstretched arm that you're going to work with us, you're going to direct us, and you're going to guide us. And when I look back in my rearview mirror of life, I can see, ha! The Lord did that. The Lord did that. The Lord protected me here. The Lord opened that door for a witness for the gospel or whatever. And I do have a lot of testimonies that I'd like to declare, but let's just read first about His mighty hand with the nation of Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 10. I have a lot of stories and a lot of pictures, and so I don't want to spend all my time in the Word of God, but when you gather on a Sunday morning, you don't want to gather without opening the Word of God. And I really want to point your attention to the Lord today, because He is my encouragement. In chapter 10, verse 12 of Deuteronomy, this is where Moses is reviewing the law just before the nation of Israel is going to go into the land for the second time. First time was called Kadesh Barnea. They came to a decision and they wouldn't go in. They wouldn't trust. 10 spies said, no, 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 no. 2 spies said, yes, let's go. We have the Almighty God with us. He's promised the land to us. And they wouldn't listen. And so this is the second time after 40 years in the wilderness. Verse 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command you today for your good. Now, basically, under the context of the New Testament, this is it. To abide in Jesus Christ, to walk by faith, to trust Him, and to do His will through the power of the Holy Spirit. See those last three words in verse 13? For your good. God had nothing but good for the nation of Israel. God has nothing but good for us. We are normally the people who mess it up. Okay? Could be our spouse sometimes, or could be our boss sometimes, or could be our president sometimes, or whatever. But normally it's us. And God is saying, for your good. So when I think about doing God's will instead of my will, I always think it's far better. It's good and acceptable and perfect. And He's saying the same thing here in Deuteronomy, verse 14. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God. Also the earth with all that is in it. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them, and He chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples as it is this day. In other words, He's saying He decided to work through these Israelites. 16. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. In other words, we can't twist Him. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widows. Look at how He goes right down into those houses of need and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Now, this has been very applicable to me in Alaska, because a lot of the needy who come through, it's a transient place at times, Seward, and they come through and they'll ask for something. They'll have a need and they're a stranger. My number one goal is to give them the gospel and then to meet their physical needs. And so God right here says, love the stranger. So now I never have to doubt if God wants me to express my love to strangers. It's just how. You shall fear the Lord your God, and you shall serve Him, and to Him you shall hold fast and take oaths in His name.
He is your praise. He is your God who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen for 40 years. Your fathers went down to Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as the stars of heaven in multitude. So in other words, he multiplied them in that adversity of Egypt. Verse 1 of 11. Therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always. You know, this is kind of like 1 John where it says we love him because he first loved us. Verse 2. Know today that I do not speak with your children who have not known and who have not seen the chastening of the Lord your God. In other words, he says they have grown up in the wilderness. They've been born the second generation. I'm talking to you who came out of Egypt and who have come through the wilderness and weren't the adults because they all passed away. And look at what he says at the end of verse 2. You have seen his greatness and his mighty hand and his outstretched arm. Now, again, where do we see this in our own lives? Well, we see it by faith. We see it when he opens up a door, when he cares for us, when he provides for us. If we don't walk by faith, we will never see in verse 2 there his greatness and his mighty hand and his outstretched arm. Verse 3, his signs and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to all his land. Now, I read through this portion in preparation here recently, and in Exodus chapter 3 and 4, it says, Pharaoh will not release you, not even with a mighty hand. But then it says, I will force him, basically. In God's mighty hand and outstretched arm, he brought them out of Israel. The end of verse 4 there, how he made the waters of the Red Sea overflow them as they pursued you, and how the Lord has destroyed them to this day, what he did for you in the wilderness until you came to this place, and what he did in Dothan and Dothan and Abiram and the sons of Eliab and the son of Reuben, how the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, their households, their tents, and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen every great act of the Lord which he did. So what he's doing is he's showing them, you have no need to fear, go into the land. His mighty hand and outstretched arm is there. And look back and you'll see what God has done all through the wilderness, all through the preparation, all through this. Now, I was a part of this church plant years ago and spent some time coming up here as a Bible study, and what was that, 18, 20 years ago or so at least. And so I can see the mighty hand and the outstretched arm of God right here in the fruit or the results. Using some faithful people, using time, using God. And so we look back and we can say, the Lord, you have brought me. You have taken me. 32 years my wife and I have been married. We can look back. Woo, there were some hard times. Some ups and some downs. We had some things going on. We've gone to Alaska. It's been the hardest thing in our marriage to do is to go to Alaska. To leave the comfort of our little box in Duluth, 20-some years in a house, 30-some years in a church, fifth generation Duluthian myself, and all these things, and to step out by faith, oh man, if we had known, we probably wouldn't have done it. But we can see back by faith that it's the Lord who's been faithful. And so as we go forward, we have great hope. That's confidence in the future because of God and what he promises and what he has done with Israel, with us, with his people throughout the centuries. And that's why I love reading missionary biographies or autobiographies, because they tell about the work and the hand of God. So as we tell our story, we can say the Lord did this, the Lord did that. See, verse 7, I think we'll start up there. But your eyes have seen every great act of the Lord which he did. Therefore, you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, and you that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore to give your fathers to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. So really, by the grace of God, we can go forward and have all confidence that internally, I'm not saying externally because he never promises us perfect circumstances, but internally we can have love and joy and peace and wisdom and strength and stability by his grace. As we grasp him, as we grasp his word, and we step out by faith in an abiding relationship with our Savior, and the Holy Spirit will lead and direct. And so, his mighty hand we can claim in the New Testament. In 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7, yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So there's a prerequisite to enjoy his mighty hand, it's humility. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and when you do that, you put yourself in a vulnerable situation. Because you put yourself under his protection and his guidance and his direction, put it under his mighty hand, all-powerful, that he may exalt you in due times. And here's the need, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So as we step out by faith under his mighty hand in humility, Lord, give you this. Lord, take that. Lord, I can't handle this. Lord, I'm casting you. Or in the Greek, Lord, I throw it upon you, that you might take care of it. Every one of you in here has fears today. Every one of you has a measure of anxiety or trepidation of the future or whatever. Those are the things that you give to him. You might have to give him 20 times a day. You just keep giving it to him by faith. And his mighty hand, that's the concept. His mighty hand, his outstretched arm that comes down to the widows, that comes down to the strangers, to come down to the orphans or the helpless. He comes down to us, his children in Christ. And so by faith, we can grasp upon it. Now, in a graphic sense, I don't think every day, okay, God's hand, physical. I think of his character. And he comes down in his mighty hand to protect me, to guide me, to provide for me, to take care of me, to lead me. And this is his good and acceptable and perfect will. But many times I must say, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. And so, for us to relate to it, he gives us a visual picture, a hand. Now, when children are fearful, the first thing they do is lock onto your leg. And they sometimes want to hold your hand. It's the same with us. God, I need you. God, I'm fearful. God, I'm worried. God, I don't know what to do in this situation. But by your word, I'm going to go forward and I'm going to trust your mighty hand by faith. Now, right in the middle of Psalm 136, he talks about his mercy endures forever. Throughout this psalm, he says this, it's underlined in verse 12, with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm. And he's listing the things that he did to the nation of Israel. So as we sang songs of worship today, this is a song of worship for Israel, and they're reviewing all that God has done. I don't know if you ever sit down with your eyes closed and you just review what the Lord has done in your life. I am saved. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. I will never perish. Thank you, Jesus Christ. And I'm trusting you, Lord. This is what they're doing here. Now in Ephesians, in the midst of this prayer for the Ephesian believers, Paul says this. We're going to read the underlined part and following. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance to the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards Scott? Okay, to the believers. Us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That's the example that he wants us to grasp. He's not pointing us back to Israel and the wilderness and the Red Sea and the 10 plagues. He's pointing us to the resurrection of Christ. And he says he wants us to know the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. Now, my wife and I have a home in Duluth, and it's in the countryside. We spent 25 years in the country. And sometimes, you know, country people don't necessarily want to mingle with other country people. They live out there in the bush or whatever for a reason. And we would reach out to the neighbors and stuff, and, you know, they would keep you at a distance. But not God. When you're out there, wherever you are, God wants to come right down in your home and enjoy that fellowship. Now, if you're in the city, Pastor Sean and I were in Mandalay and we're in Myanmar and there's people, I went to India, there's people everywhere. Right then, God wants to reach down with his hand and his mighty power and relate to us and infuse us with his strength
through His Spirit. So when we think about the Lord and His mighty hand, we think about Him Himself. From the gospel forward, our relationship today as a believer in Christ should become more and more precious with Jesus Christ as we reach out and grab Him by faith. Again, I know you've got some trials in your life because this is a cursed world. And as a pastor for 14 years in Duluth, and now pastoral ministry with people from around the world, we're all bearing burdens in this cursed world. But when you grasp Jesus Christ, He's the good news. Lord, thank You for being with me. Thank You for holding my right hand. Thank You for being before me, ahead of me, in me, guiding me, directing me. Thank You, Lord. And when we think about the... Let's see, for some reason I'm not going forward here. Try going back. We go back to the Lord, and you go back and you reflect upon Him and all that He has provided for us, and meditate on Him.
We need the mighty power of God here.
Good application, Pastor. Good application. There we go.
You might have to use that message. Okay. So you might have to use that.
Okay, good. So press the forward,
press
button,
forward button.
The top one there.
Yeah.
Good. Excellent. No. We can. The grandpa bifocals. So for an unbeliever, a lost person, the gospel of Jesus Christ and the work of Christ is the good news. As a believer in Christ, once we trust in Him and we're saved, now it's His presence and His will for us. And He describes Himself in a multitude of ways in the Scriptures so that we can relate to our now risen, are now invisible, Lord Jesus Christ seated at the right hand of God, but He is our all in all. Thanks, good work, Pastor. Jesus Christ, He is the gospel or the good news, the person and the work of Jesus Christ. So whether you're in the promised land up here in Grand Rapids, or you're in Alaska, or you're in Myanmar, wherever you are, it's Jesus Christ that is our common denominator. It's Jesus Christ who is our strength, our help, our wisdom, our comfort, our hope. If I didn't have Jesus Christ, I don't know where I would be. I was sharing with someone recently that I did go through depression before I was saved, and my sin nature still has that tendency. So as I was sick with the cold, chest cold on a couple of doses of antibiotics when I got back from India and Myanmar, I just kind of neglected my walk with the Lord, and I could still see my spirit kind of go into this lulls, and maybe if I kept that up for a couple years, I might go into clinical depression. I don't know. Sometimes it's a physiological thing. Sometimes it's just the way we look at life, and we keep looking at it on half a cup empty or whatever. But really, you go back to who Jesus Christ is, and the Spirit of God, as we walk by faith, gives us that power. In Acts 1:8, He says, we shall receive power to share the gospel as witnesses to Christ. In Philippians, He says He's going to work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. But what do? We work out our own salvation. We walk by faith and not by sight. We fight the good fight of faith. We reckon ourselves dead to that sin nature, and we reckon ourselves alive, and we walk in newness of life. It's a spiritual, supernatural battle. So I just put up here a few things. That mighty power of God will work in us as we acknowledge Him, as we live the new life in Christ by faith in Him, in His love. And so Colossians 1:27 says this, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. There's that mighty hand of God that works in the Holy Spirit in us. So in one tangible way, the mighty hand of God is working in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's a present tense, continually strengthens me. So when I give a testimony up here about what the Lord has done, I want everybody to see past Scott, past his Burmese outfit. I knew Pastor Sean probably doesn't wear these when he comes home, do you? No, So I just wanted to show you, this is what they do in love. They give us these outfits. And I had it in the closet. I used it in Duluth. And I thought, I'm going to wear that up in the promised land and dress appropriately. I'm really happy. I'm going to take a picture of your Myanmar sign back there with the faces. They will be very encouraged. And I'll share a few stories in a little bit. But Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15:10. Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now think about that. Everything I am is by the grace of God. My heartbeat, lub-dub, 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 lub-dub. The air I breathe from the moment I was born out of the womb to now, that was all the grace of God. I don't hand $100 bill to God each day. Thanks for the air, God. Thanks for the sunrise. Thanks for keeping me alive. It's all by grace. And His grace toward me was not in vain. What does that mean? It wasn't worthless. But I labored, there's the human side, more abundantly than they all, in the context, the other apostles, but yet not I, the grace of God which was with me. So that introduction that Pastor Sean gave, I think the only really accurate part about it was the fact that I was in center field. Because it's totally by the grace of God. When I look back, oh, I was a train wreck, and I got saved at a good time in life before I totally ruined my life because I made some bad decisions, and I had no direction, and God has nurtured me. But there's one thing that I have done by His grace, right, it says, on a regular basis, yes, Lord. Yes, I do want Your will. Yes. And so you massage your heart, and you keep yielding, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And I can look back and I can say, wow, the Lord has been faithful in His mighty hand. And I can then say, God had done with them. God has done with Beth and I. God has done with Pastor Sean and I in Myanmar. How He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, unto the seafarers, and so forth. And so, as we reflect on some stories, and I love telling stories, and my wife said, Scott, you've got so many faces and so many people. I think you have to cut some out. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to roll through some of them, but others I'm going to make comments. And 5 years ago, Beth and I went up to Alaska. There had been 5 summers, and that was a tough decision to leave the local church to a parachurch organization. But even I called up Pastor Sean. I said, what do you think? His words, it's a gold mine, Scott. Pastor Roxer, it's a gold mine. And I couldn't see it. But after being up there, people from around the world, this past year we believe about 200, give or take a few, trusted Christ as their Savior from over 20 nations of the world. That's not including the ones at the Alaska State Fair. So we're in those 3 ports right there, and we mostly see cruise ships, anywhere from 300 crew members to 1,600 crew members. And this next year, we're getting 2 larger ships, which will have over 2,000 crew members coming into port. They will literally double the normal population of Seward, Alaska. And we also see some cargo ships that come into port. And there's a view from up on the mountain of the ship leaving from Seward. Last year, we had tons of whales. It's been kind of cyclical, but the whales were in just thick last year. We saw lots of them. The tour companies are making buku bucks from it. But these were literally 3 blocks from the mission out in the ocean. Here's halfway up the mountain looking down on Resurrection Bay, and this is up at the top, right up behind the mission. So that's the port right in the clouds there down below. That's what we'll experience in a couple of weeks when we're up there. This is the Siemens mission in the early spring. It's just a small little place that the Lord in His mighty hand and outstretched arm uses for His honor and glory and the seafarers. Here's the mission in the summertime. We've keep trying to make improvements each year there. This is what we're going to experience when we get up there in about 4 days here. We're leaving on Thursday. Last year, my wife said, I just don't want it to rain. I just would like some snow so it feels like winter. So she prayed, and she prayed, and the snow came, and the snow came. 7 feet at the mission. So she would sleep in, and guess who would go out and shovel? Hubby Dubby. So I would go out and shovel one morning at 6:45. I said, rise and shine, come on, you've been praying, let's go. And so I made her shovel. Aren't I a harsh husband? I think I did take her out to breakfast after that, but basically, you know, it just snowed and snowed. This year is totally different. They haven't had much snow, but it's supposed to come. Last year, the Tong and Chen came. They had a Chinese captain, and they had all Asian crew who spoke English. They came over to the mission. We served them last winter. These men had never touched snow before, so we took them up into the mountains. They experienced it, posted on Facebook like crazy, and we shared the gospel with several of them. Brought clothes to the ship because they were freezing, the guys working, and it turned out to be very well. And in their love, they wanted to treat us. So this is chicken feet soup. Don't you judge us yet. It was really good. They say the collagen is really healthy for you. So you stick the whole foot in, rub it around, and spit out the metatarsals and the tarsals and whatever else is in there. And it was actually quite good, right, Beth? Yeah, it was good. And I didn't tell my wife about all the bugs that were crawling around in the crew mess. I had noticed them, but when she doesn't have her glasses on, she can't see those things. So it wasn't the most sanitary, but they served us. And these two men we shared the gospel with, the older man on the left is Samata, and he was Roman Catholic, and the other was Mohammed, and he was a Muslim, and both of them were very receptive to the gospel. In fact, he was a newlywed, the young man, and he wanted to know all about Christian marriage and how that worked, and it was an excellent opportunity. This is Chet and Sean Jones from Duluth. Chet is from up in Alaska. They built us a greenhouse this past summer, and Sean turned 18 at the mission. And Cassandra on the right there is from Milwaukee at Word of Grace Bible Church, and she was up all summer with her Spanish skills. She was down in Nicaragua the year before, and both of them were very helpful. Cassandra Schmitz is now living in Minneapolis. She helped us plant, and after a couple of months in the all sunny summer, because you have about 20 hours of sunlight in June and July, we had a very abundant harvest. We got a bunch of carrots there. Beth, these are wild strawberries about the size of your thumb. That's everything's bigger in Alaska. So Beth loves to pick those. And blueberries by the 3-gallon bucket. How many did you get last summer? I don't know. 20 gallons of blueberries. So, and this is what happens to your hands when you go with her. So anyways, there's some real benefits to Alaska, and the Lord in His mighty hand reached out and gave us a van through the trust fund for Siemens centers throughout the world. There's the longshoremen have a small fee that they pay who work around the world, and then they give it to seafarer centers, and we were able to get a new van, a nice Honda van. Donated by the ITF, and Holland America gave us also a grant for that. This is our son David, came up last spring, and he helped us renew, he and his brother Paul, we renewed the music room there, and so we tore it apart and painted it. And then this man, Wayne Scott from Minneapolis, Grace Gospel down there, he came up with his skills, brought the carpeting in 2-foot squares in his luggage on the airplane. It was great. And so we got a very good price. We were able to redo it, and there's our room when it's all done, a place of worship. I don't know how many thousand seafarers went through that room last summer. So here we are. What do we want? We want a home away from home. So when they are working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week for 9 months straight, and they start thinking, I want to go somewhere off this ship, we want them to think Seward Siemens Mission or Whittier Siemens Mission, so that there's a siesta or an oasis or a place that has free coffee, free cookies, free fish, free, what am I missing, Wi-Fi, and also free salvation. That's one of our lines. And one man picked up on, he brought 5 of his buddies. All 5 heard the gospel. We believe at least 4 and maybe 5 trusted Christ that day. Here's what they do. They come and they sit and they connect with home. They upload, they download, they overload, they do whatever they can. and so that they can connect with their families. And we are simply a place for them to stop in. They're all religions of the world. We want them to be comfortable, and we reach out with friendships. First thing they come to the van, we want to greet them, introduce ourselves, and then when they get to, well, that's on the ship is the same thing. When they get to the mission, we want somebody to greet them at the door, welcome them, and you should see some of them come week after week. It's a 2-week round trip to Seattle and back, or Vancouver and back. Takes 2 weeks, so they're there 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. Personal contact we want with them in a true love of Jesus Christ. Love the stranger. I'm going to quote that at our devotions this summer for the volunteers. We're to love the strangers. You've never seen them before. You don't know their names. You love them in the name of Jesus Christ. Personal witness as much as we can. We say if the volunteers at the mission are on the ship, if we get 5 good conversations a day, that's great. Because the Word of God is going forth, and the Gospel, and the Spirit of God uses it. We have church services on the ship, off the ship. We have materials that we give to them. I want to keep developing and adding to those. Physical needs. Again, they have needs, and we're there as a home away from home, and they respond to your love. Just like your neighbor, you do a little thing for them, and you do it respectfully and respectful love, and they respond. Nobody's reaching out. Excuse me. Hardly anyone is reaching out in love around the world, at least in the United States. We've become vacuums of selfishness. And I tell you, people respond just by human contact of loving respect. Here's what I saw on one of the walls on the ship. Make every moment with each guest count. We can put in there every unbeliever. Go above and beyond. And that's the Spirit of God, and the grace of God can do that for us. Here's Jen Parcham on the left and Cassandra Delgado on the right. We cooked salmon. We caught a lot of salmon last year. It was an excellent salmon season where the ocean comes to Seward, which I always say. And so what do we do with all this salmon? We feed the seafarers. So on a regular basis, 3-4 times a week, we'll barbecue salmon when we have the right volunteers and it's in season. My wife got to the point where she says, I don't want to eat any more salmon. Can we eat moose at least or something? She's so cute. But now we're starving. We'd like to eat some more salmon. So this man was the first man who trusted Christ as his Savior. We had a church service. It was the first ship in port. And we had, you know, you try and announce it that there's going to be a church service at 1 o'clock during the day and at 6 p.m. on the ships. This is Princess Ships. And Joey was the only one who showed up. He's an incinerator or garbage guy all day long, 12 hours. Ugh. Stinky garbage here, recyclables here. Stinky garbage here, recyclables here. He came to the service, and I asked him, he's a Filipino, I asked him, he goes, no, I don't know I'm going to heaven. I have never really read the Bible much. I said, would you like to? Well, can anybody? Gave him the survey diagram, talked him through it. He trusted Christ as his Savior, and you can see the materials there. On the left is Jeanette Seal. She's been doing this for 35 years, and she's a very faithful servant of Jesus Christ, and she's basically the originator of Alaska missions in Juneau, and then now it's switched over to where we are. This is Cheryl Reichman on the left, and this gal was from Colombia or Peru, I can't remember. She was the last person that we know of that trusted Christ as their Savior. She came because she said, all summer long I keep hearing about this Siemens mission and this Siemens mission, and so I decided I better go now because the ship is leaving. And she came, and Cheryl reached out to her in friendly love and conversation and then asked spiritual questions. She says, yeah, I'd like to know. This is downstairs in the mission. We have 3 separate places to share the gospel in the basement. And Cheryl shared, and she trusted Christ. She was just beaming. She was so excited. This man was early on in the ship. This is an Indonesian. His name is Christian. I said, Christian, that's a great name. You must read the Bible. Well, a little bit. Do you have a Bible on the ship? Oh, yeah, I have my Bible. You know, I brought it. I said, what about heaven? Do you know you're going to go to heaven? Well, I don't know about that. And so I reached out, shared the gospel with him. You can see there's 2 thieves right there. You see the booklet on the table? Pastor Sean wrote that. And that afternoon he came to the mission and was playing guitar with my wife. So all summer long we reached out to him, encouraged him a little bit more.
Here is Cassandra on the ships with the human resource staff. And we just sometimes go from place to place and just reach out, because I was on the ship basically from 9 in the morning until 6 at night. Cassandra would come along on a lot of the ships. She speaks fluent Spanish. And again, she's a female, so she can reach out to those female crew members who might not want to open up to me. This gal in the middle is Tara. She's from the Philippines. Katie Morrison from Word of Grace witnessed to her 2 years ago. She trusted Christ. We saw her on the ship. She goes, "Oh, it's so nice to see you, blah, blah, blah." She goes, we sat down with her at lunch and she says, "You need to tell him what Katie told me about the gospel." And this, we find out, was Ronald, and it was her boyfriend, and he trusted Christ as his Savior. It wasn't, 20 minutes after giving the diagram that he got saved. This gal is a security gal, and she was very open to the gospel. The man in the back, he's one of the teachers at the Bible study, and Cassandra and I had great opportunities to share with her. This is Roy from Barbados. He had been to the mission 2 years ago, and he keeps coming on the ship. He's a dishwasher, and he came up to me, and I started talking to him. He says, "Yeah, I've been to the mission, and I've got my Bible and stuff." I said, "Are you going to heaven?" He goes, "I don't know that for sure." Shared with him the gospel. He trusted Christ. All summer long, he'd come over and he'd have a cup of coffee. He works midnight shifts. Maybe it wasn't coffee. I don't know. But he'd sit down with me and he'd say, "Okay, Pastor, teach me something from the Bible. I'm going to go sleep. I want to think about it," you know. So it's one of those opportunities. Here's another place down in the mission. Beth is sharing the gospel with this Filipino. Here Cassandra is on the ship with a Spanish guy. She had a Spanish survey that she would go over. This man was from Honduras. And she had a lot of opportunities there. This is Nick Kerr from Duluth Bible Church, who comes up and volunteers for 6 weeks with his wife and his granddaughter, Ayla. She was in the garden with Cassandra earlier. I showed that picture. And here he's sharing the gospel. Here Beth is out front sharing the gospel. Here this man came up and said, "Pastor Scott, could I have a couple of Bibles? Because I'm engaged to a gal whose father is a pastor, and he wanted to see if I could get a couple Bibles from you." "Sure." I said, "Do you have your own?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Do you read it?" "No, not really." He was Roman Catholic, and he was going to marry this gal whose father's an evangelical pastor, and he wasn't a believer. And so, they have a fear of God. They have a respect of the Bible. They know they're guilty, but they don't have grace and faith alone in Christ alone. So if you can put those together for them, boom, the Spirit of God opens their eyes, and they get saved. That's what happened to him. And I also shared with him some other things. These were a couple of spa gals. Oh, this is in our new Alaska room. So this bear was caught 5 miles or killed 5 miles from the mission, and a man gave it to me. I sent it to Fox Furs in Duluth. They processed it. We got it back, put it up there, and it's a centerpiece of our Alaska room with all sorts of furs and other things, pictures, and we keep adding to it there. These spa gals were from Zimbabwe and Tanzania or something like that, and they came one afternoon to the mission. This is Dean Ben. He's a bass player in a band from St. Lucia. He trusted Christ in 2013 when I went over the gospel with him. He keeps coming back, and we've become very good friends. There he is demonstrating how the Alaska room is an attraction for them to come to the mission and to see and to feel those things. Here's Katie Morrison. She's very effective in sharing the gospel. She was also in Nicaragua 2 years ago with Cassandra Delgado. This is Ginny Kerr from DBC, and she was sharing the gospel with this Filipino man. You can see those pictures in the background. We love to take pictures of them. I mean, if you have a home away from home, wouldn't you want your picture on the wall? So we take pictures. We go to Anchorage. We produce all these pictures. We put them up. Sometimes we give them away. And then by ship, they can find themselves. And some of them will even say, "Would you take my picture so I can have my..." Sure, we'll take it and try and get it up. This man was a dishwasher. I'd shaken his hands a couple times. He sat down, was eating all alone. I went over, ended up sharing the gospel with him, and he trusted Christ as his Savior. This is an Indonesian man that Cassandra witnessed to. And she shared him with the gospel. This is Mel and Carol. He is a leader of the fellowship on board, and he was going to get married last year. And he said his wife was hopefully going to get on the same ship. Well, they came back to Seward this year, which was just wonderful, on Holland America ships. And
could go over the Christian design for marriage there. Can't see it real well, but that's the design that I draw for their, for them. Cassandra is only about 5'1", 5'2", and this gal is from Belarus. She sells jewelry on the ship. Her name is Kate. She heard the gospel a few times, and every time I got to the point where she was a sinner and she was guilty, she would just shut down. And it would take several weeks. She's been on the ship 3 years in a row. It would take several times or even months where she'd finally warm up to even talk to me again. But this year she came back and we were friends again. And I said, got to get a picture with you two together. She was finally out of uniform, didn't have high heels on, and she was like 4'8", I think. I was just amazed. God loves short people too. This man's name is Walter. And there's your book there, Sean, booklet, A Tale of Two Thieves. He was a Roman Catholic from India, wide open, wanted to talk about spiritual things. And you know what? He trusted Christ as his Savior. He says, this is the best day of my life. So here's again, at the mission, we get groups of people. The man on the far right is the Bible study leader. He brought a bunch of people, and we were able to talk. This is in the mission. Here's Jen in the blue in the middle there with Ayla. And they were playing basketball with the guys. Another opportunity to connect and share the gospel. Here's Jen led the group up on the mountain, would take them on hikes when we had enough volunteers. The man in the back with the yellow sleeve, he trusted Christ as his Savior after the second hike, and almost every hike she went on. This was just phenomenal to me. She'd share the gospel and somebody would get saved. They had a Polish violinist who's been on the ships for years and has talked to us. She has an Orthodox background, and she was coming down the mountain. She was right behind Jen. They were talking and talking, and they got on the gospel, and she trusted Christ. She goes, I'm free, finally, from this guilt I've been bearing for so many years. She was just bawling in tears when she got to the mission. So here's another group of those just going up the mountain. Here's the Mount Marathon hiking trail, which is literally a block and a half, 2 blocks from the mission, goes straight up the mountain. Here's that man. His name is actually Singh. He was an orphan, and the Roman Catholic Church in India adopted him. So when he refers to his mother, it's a nun. She's very controlling. He shared the gospel, or Jen shared the gospel with him. I reviewed it with him. He was certain he was saved because of Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Those are salmon, by the way, right there. Here we are. We were singing spontaneously in the mission with these folks, and they were just sitting right there where we drink coffee and have food, and they pulled out the guitar, and they were just having a great time. This is Jack Line. She was a believer in Christ with a charismatic flavor from Tanzania or somewhere in Africa, and she ended up talking to Cassandra. Cassandra thought for sure she got saved. She was giving her the gospel on the diagram. It was a short break for her. You can see the time right there, 10:30 in the morning. And 2 weeks later, I saw her in the crew fellowship area, coffee area, and I asked her, did she know? And she says, well, I kind of think so. I reviewed it with her, went over with her. She had assurance. It was just a great story. This is Cherry. She invited us to take us up to the passenger area for lunch. And we said, well, okay. And we went up there, and she did not have high enough rank to eat. She had to sip water, but we got to eat up there. And we didn't know until we got up there. She just dumped on us all these relational problems that she has. Her husband divorced her and left her years ago. She's had to go to the ship. She's got 3 little kids back home, and she's got all these things. And you can see we shared the gospel, shared some Christian principles. She was definitely saved. She was part of the fellowship, but she just had all these burdens. And this was the last time we saw her this summer. She knew she was going to leave, and she wanted to talk to us. What you do sometimes is you build a relationship for several visits, just introducing, and then they're willing to trust you and open up. Here's Katie with a Filipina gal that trusted Christ. This is a great story. These are 3 Christian fellowship leaders from the ship. And all of them are room stewards. All of them are Filipinos, and all of them are grandfathers. And so am I. So we took a picture of the Lolos. L-O-L-O. It's the Tagalog word for grandpa. So we added up here. There was like 225 years of life and 100 years of marriage and how many grandchildren we had and everything. And so it was kind of fun with them.
This gal, I got to share on the ship with her, and she's a pianist from Romania. She speaks fluent Russian, and she was a little hesitant, but she said she would come back to listen to me give the diagram, and she didn't show up. 2 weeks later, didn't see her. 4 weeks later, I meet her, and I say, and I can't remember her name now, but I had her name memorized then, and I said, "Hi. Oh, hi." I said, we talked, and I said, "Are you still interested in that diagram that I'd like to draw you?" Or we call it a picture. In that picture, she goes, "Yes." I said, "Well, when can we meet?" Ended up sharing the gospel with her. Not positive she trusted Christ, but she came to the mission, and she and Beth were playing duets together in the mission. So here's an expression of appreciation from the spa. The ladies had been going up to the spa and visiting and encouraging them. You can see there a table full of materials there. All materials are free. Most ships let us just put it right out and give away any and all materials. Here's a service there at the mission. We've got a couple of guitars and some drums and the piano being played. Here we are again. This was the Holland America Zaandam ship, and we had just a delight with them on the ship. No, that was not the Zaandam. That was the Nordam. Here, first day got on the ship, the Christian Fellowship. We met up with the leaders. This is the Norwegian Sun, and they gathered all the people. We had lunch together. This is six different nations represented there on their crew fellowship, along with Cassandra and I, the only Americans. Here's another fellowship on board there after a church service. There's another six different nations there, from the island nations in the Caribbean to the Philippines to Indonesia to Ireland. That man next to me in the background is from Ireland. Here's another crew fellowship that we gathered. As soon as we were done, we took pictures. Here's another gathering. But you just get a flavor of what we're doing there in the mission. This gal's name is Elizabeth. I had shared with her in 2013 in a different port in Whittier. She got on a different ship. She works in the spa. We're going down the gangway. You see the gangway back there? I'm going down the gangway, and I look out, and I say to Cassandra, "Look at the hair on that gal." I walk down the gangway. I turn around. She turns. She goes, "Pastor Scott!" I didn't know who she was. She had been to the mission. She knew I was on board, and it had been 4 years or 5 years since we'd seen each other, and we exchanged greetings, and we would visit her up in the spa, and actually, believe it or not, it's not her real hair. She came and ordered, what do you call those again? Extensions from the mission later. I mean, the things you learn working as a director. This was the butcher, and this was another provisions man in the ship, and both of them claimed to be saved. We went over, they got assurance, we talked the Christian life. It was great. There's just our staple, chocolate chip cookies every morning. These guys were from Tennessee. They were part of a band. The one on the left was truly a believer. The other one was Baptist. But he didn't have assurance, and so we shared with him, and I don't know what was the end result, but they came back several times to the mission. There's again, the guy on the far left is from China. There's more Chinese all the time coming on the ships, which is exciting. Man last year shook my hand, he goes, "Hello, I am from China." He says, "I am a Christian from China." "Really?" He goes, "I know it is very rare." And so we had some good fellowship. This man, again, Katie shared the gospel. This Rocio, she was from Philippines. She had gone down with the ship Costa Concordia. I don't know if you remember that, but a couple from Minneapolis died on this ship. Yeah, the Italian captain went too close to shore. He wanted to wave to his friends and family on the island, and 27 people died from it. She was on it. She told the story. We shared the gospel. We don't think she really knew Jesus Christ as her Savior. This is Jeanette on the far right, and then this is Christina from maybe it is Romania, and she was the human resource manager. So we worked usually through the human resource manager to get on the ships and arrange things. This man was from the Philippines. He was a teacher in their local church. He was so excited. This is our Romans 1 through 5 manual put out by Duluth Bible Church along with the stranger. He was definitely saved. He was a fundamental Bible-believing church in the Philippines. This man was from India. I shared the gospel with him
as those are his civilian clothes. He was going to leave at 1 o'clock to go back to India, and I think he trusted Christ as his Savior. Amazing how the mighty hand of God and outstretched arms brings you in contact with somebody at the last moment. He was had a Roman Catholic background from India. Here's the gal is from Mexico, the guy is from the U.S. They were shoppies. They sold stuff on the shops of the ship. They were open. The man next to Beth there, I believe. No, the man next to me, he trusted Christ as his Savior. We have a Muslim and a Hindu and a Roman Catholic from India. They also sold goods on the ship. And so the shops are shut down during their day in port, and usually they'll come to the mission a lot of times. We shared the gospel with all three of them, and one of them trusted Christ. There they are. Nick Kerr was fundamental in sharing the gospel. The one of the Bible, I think he's the one who trusted Christ as his Savior. And I think, yep, he's the one on my shoulder right there. So, oh, another great story. Cassandra reached out to this gal. She was a security guard and just had burdens. We met her the first day at the gangway, and I walked away with Cassandra, and I said, did you see her eyes? She is burdened. We need to pray for her. I tell you, though, she trusted Christ. She couldn't believe that salvation was free, and it was really great. These two guys on the each side of me both trusted Christ as their Savior. The one on the far right had been saved 6 years ago or 8 years ago through Cheryl Reichman, and he was talking to me how great it was, and he wanted to see Cheryl, and I turned to these two men and said, do you know why he's so excited about what Cheryl shared? No, we don't know. Can I share it with you? Shared it with him. The one on the far left, he got saved right away. And the other guy had to go over the diagram two or three times, and he finally trusted Christ. This is what they gather. This is on the ship right there at one of their fellowships. That's a pretty good size one. The guy on the far right is Emil. He's a good friend of ours. He has been on the ships for several years in Seward, and he's one of the leaders on the ships. But I'll tell you, it's a hard road for them to continue in fellowship. This gal is from Indonesia. She got the gospel several times from us. I don't think she trusted Christ. She says, oh, I'm too bad. I'm too bad a girl to get saved. She was the barista on the ship. This is Cassandra. This is the chief engineer's wife, Anna. He's Italian. They have three kids, so she speaks fluent Italian and Spanish. So Cassandra worked with her and with her three kids. The three kids just loved Cassandra. There she is with the youngest one. It's just, you know, you just minister in whatever way you can. And it's just interesting how the Lord directs your path and your steps. This is Andre from South Africa. He's a doctor, and I've known him for 5 years, and I visited in South Africa after India, a believer in Christ, and a great opportunity. This is a funny story. I was invited to be a model in the spa, and I said, oh, no, no thanks. She goes, oh, no, please, please. And I said, how long will it take? 3 hours. I said, oh, way too long. I'm on the ships to see the crew. And she goes, okay. She walks away kind of in a huff. She comes back 20 minutes later. All right, just 1 hour. And I said, okay, I'll do it. I didn't even ask what kind of a model. This is what she did to me. Green seaweed goop all over. And those are electrodes. It gets rid of all your fat. Yeah, right. So for 40 minutes, I'm lying down here while the passengers are going by going, and all my belly blubber is going, bloop, 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 bloop. But boy, was I thin after that. Yeah, right. So anyways, what's funny is I got to share the gospel with her. She was a Christian from, I think it was South Africa, and but she had no assurance, and she had no real knowledge of the Bible, just nominal. And I don't know if she got saved, but I had a great opportunity to share the gospel. Here the crew is honoring me on my birthday. Here is Cassandra with a captain. Again, just a hard life these guys live. So as 30 years as a captain on the ship, he's only been home with his family like 7 years. The rest, you're on the ship. So he had opened up to Jeanette and Cassandra, and Jeanette had a engagement. She couldn't come to the ship, so I went up and talked to the captain that day. We even get in the galley. The man on the far right is the only American chef in the whole company. His name is Victor. He is based out of Alaska, and he said, come on, up to the galley. And so here we're taste testing all the food there. And there they are, have shared the gospel with two out of the three there in the galley. And here Cassandra is there with them. Here the gals ran the marathon mountain. There you can see in the middle foreground is Jen and Cassandra in their Batman t-shirts. There they are taking off. It's a straight up the mountain and straight down the mountain. The winners are in anywhere from 42 to 50 minutes. Last year it was 43 or 44 minutes. There's Cassandra finishing, and there's Jen finishing. Hour and 33 minutes for her. We also did a little bit of fishing last summer. The gals outfished the guys, but the director outfished everybody, of course. No, I'm just kidding. We caught some kings, those others are red salmon. We caught some silver. The God was very gracious, and we just kept fishing them. Right in the middle there is Mark Lachlan and Rebecca there, our daughter on the far right. And this is the booth being built. Did you ever share these pictures? Okay, this is the booth. You can see on the far left bottom is John Heft. He's a hefty guy. He's a great big guy. He is super skilled, though, mechanically. He built this on his trailer on runners, so he never moved it. He built it just high enough so it could go out the door as he propped up the exit door and everything, and we would go over and help him for a day from the mission. Nick Kerr, Tony, Dave Knutson, we all helped him do some work on there. There's Tony up on the ladder. We helped him put on the roof that day. And there it is in transit. Had to be hauled 300 miles, I think it was, something like that, up to the state fairgrounds. You can see the fairground sign in the background. And there it is all set up just before all the action. And there we are in the midst of the action. And I just praise the Lord that Itasca Bible Church is willing to support this and the vision of Pastor Sean, because 1,400 plus last summer, the summer before, 1,300 plus. And those are surveys. How many people heard the gospel? And Jesus Christ was really magnified there. And so please keep praying about volunteers and all the details about that. You talk about anxiety. I'm sure Pastor Sean has a little bit about the upcoming season. You know, I have mine. So when we start testifying to the Lord, we just say, God has done it. His hand, His mighty arm is reaching down and He's opening doors and He's bringing people to salvation. He does it here in the promised land. He does it wherever we are. And He wants to use us. And He doesn't use perfect believers. He doesn't use strong believers. He uses abiding believers who are just willing to open your mouth. And that's the hardest part for me, is the first open word. Now on the mission and on the ships, I already have a door because they know what we're going to talk to them about. But really it's that first question. How are you? Are you a Christian? Would you read the Bible? And you start talking and you can get into spiritual things. Now here's Myanmar missions. Now what time do I need to quit here?
You're only 3 minutes over.
Right now? Okay, I'll go through with 3 more minutes. Okay, here we go. So here we are in Myanmar. It's in Southeast Asia. It's called the Golden Land, not the Promised Land, the Golden Land. There's many languages there, and we seek to teach in Burmese here in Pinuluan, in the center of the country. I then, after Sean left, went up to Machina, and then down to Yangon, and then on to India. 90%+ Buddhist. They worship idols. It's a very complex religion. The animists are in the mountains. The Buddhists are on the plains. That was the nuns. Here's the monks, and here's the children. You see them everywhere begging in the streets. And it's a kind of a backwards country that's being forwarded now because of the sanctions have been removed, and now the U.S. and other countries are going in there. Here Sean and I are sitting in the middle, and Samuel is next to me, and then the gal on the next to Samuel is Dorcas, and on the other side of Sean is in yellow shirt. She brought 15 people, which we weren't aware of until we got there, and thankfully the Lord had gone in advance and opened up doors for us. Here we are teaching there. It was very profitable. They responded to 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And we kept going over. This is Samuel. Please pray for them. They're doing well. Here we went over eternal security, over the Christian life, over the gospel, over and over again to fundamentally. It was kind of primitive there in the place where we were. That's your bathroom. And then at our hotel, we were abounding. Sean was able to stay in shape there with his many back rubs. And there's where they cooked for us, the ladies. But I tell you, they could cook. Look at that food they cooked for us. This is for, right there, 75 people. Of course, you don't see the rice. We just kept it very straightforward so they could replicate it in their churches. And here we are going through. And then they would write him down. This is one of the best artists there, just excellent in his artistic abilities. And then they were actually even laminating him from last time and then using him in their teaching. So it's really been encouraging there, especially that picture of Satan. Yeah, you can't get fooled by that guy, can you? So here we are getting dropped off at the Mandalay Airport by Muting, and we're staring into the sun. That's why we're squinting there. And then I went up to Machina, and this is 8 Mile Bible Church. They separated from Bethel Bible Church, Bethel Church was under a denomination, and the denomination kept pressuring them, and they finally said, "That's it. This is a church without walls." But I tell you, they were so happy. They're teaching the Word of God. They're right now having another Romans conference. They have 12 men who are qualified to teach the Word of God. This is my girlfriend there. I always tease Beth about this. But it's just funny. They just want to come up and have their picture with you. Here's the leadership. 10 deacons and 15 are 10 deacons and 5 elders. So they have 15 leaders, and most of them can teach the Word of God. The previous church had 12 deacons and 5 elders. Everyone but 2 deacons came with them and separated from the building so that they could then be free. And so it's really exciting. The little town they are in is 8 Mile City or Village. They call it 8 Mile Bible Church. Here I went over that just stay on course. Stay on your course. And this couple has asked us to come back again next year and teach a Romans conference at their church. This is the gal that invited the 15 people and her husband there. And I had dinner with them one night, taught at their school. Here they had a small conference that they had me. This is Muting. And he asked me to, or Amit, this is Amit. And there we are on the Irrawaddy River. There we are at his church, 2 days of Ephesians. Went through chapter by chapter Ephesians. The people really liked it. Went to Yangon and taught at the gospel at a drug and rehabilitation center. And there's the men who are in there for their addictions to drugs and alcohol. And then in India, went there, preached the gospel at Deeper Life Bible Church. This here is Alan. He's in Alaska every summer. Works with his sister and brother-in-law at their business. And then I went there and taught the Word of God. Very small church, but they very much responded. I think there was 5 pastors there and went through Romans 1 through 5. So thank you for your prayers. They've been very responsive to the Word of God. And just don't know what the Lord wants to do. But then I went to another church in India, taught the Word of God in many different places. I was so exhausted. And then you just get up and keep doing it. And they just kept finding places for me to teach the Word of God. That was my Saji, Pastor Saji was my contact guy. So thank you very much what the Lord has done. And I know you're a praying church, and I really appreciate it. And this summer we'll be up there. And if you do want to volunteer at the mission, please talk to Pastor Sean first, and then we'll work through that there. You want me to pray? Yeah, I'm done. Please bow with me. Heavenly Father, we put ourselves under your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, and we just want to acknowledge you in all our ways that you might direct our paths. You are the great and awesome God. We cannot even fathom your greatness and how you can do what you do, but we believe you. Thank you for IBC here, and guide and direct with the leadership, with the congregation, that Christ could be magnified, your word and gospel could go forth. And even thank you for you're working with the many individuals and families here to your honor and glory. Pray for Myanmar and Pastor Samuel and his family and the many men who have responded. Pray that you would, even women that have responded, pray you'd use them to go forth and Jesus Christ could be magnified. And give us direction how to continue there. Pray for Alaska, Lord, and give Beth and I strength as we go this week back and Thank you for your guidance, and I have great hope that you will direct with us and with the season, that you could bring many souls from around the world to these ships that are coming to Alaska so they could hear the gospel. And even those that come to the Alaska State Fair, we pray that you would work out the details there, and Jesus Christ could be magnified as many hear the gospel and trust in him. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.